My name's Winnie McShane, and I'm with
Rich Killen,
Sam Lample,
and this is a production and aftermath of Life Tree, or is this a part of Life Tree? I don't know where exactly we're going, but what is Life Tree, guys? Where are we coming from?
So Lifetree Counseling is, this is Sam, by the way. Lifetree Counseling is kind of the latest vision of what mental health can be in a community setting. It's the result of 20 some odd years in therapy and all different levels of care, recognizing what works and what doesn't work. And trying to do something special with really good people, and that's why Rich is in my life.
Why did you name it Life Tree?
So a couple things for me personally, everything I do from a business standpoint has a concept of a tree in it. Mostly because of a recognition of my father and the business that he owned, which largely shaped how I produce, or excuse me, how I approach life itself, especially how I approach business. He was an arborist, and his tree company was called Lample's Tree of Life Tree Service.
Wow.
And the second aspect of that has to do with something that Rich and I very much share, which is our love for the islands, particularly Hawaii. And what trees represent in that culture. Very much about life and abundance, making sure that people's needs are being met, that their lives are blessed, which also largely informs what we do here at Life Tree.
Okay. So I guess that brings us to a good point. Where are you from? What is Sam? Where did you come from, Sam? How are you here now?
It's rather, I think, rather boring for me. I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, in a suburb called Catonsville. Love being from Baltimore, but have no desire to live there. I went to undergrad in Rhode Island, got a degree in business. It took about 5 years to realize that that wasn't for me. Through a series of events, ended up in Virginia Beach, Virginia, working on a degree in counseling. And the first job offer I got was Wickenburg, Arizona, and that was the spring of 2001. I've been here ever since.
Wow. That's a long time.
It is a long time.
That's like 20 years, almost 22 years now.
And that's what it feels like.
Wow. All right. So, Rich, silent type, where are you from? How do you come into this now?
So I'm originally from Hawaii. I was born and raised there. And so from there, I went to school in San Diego. Had no desire necessarily to get into counseling or anything like this. I believe that everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so this wasn't plan A for me. This wasn't plan B either. But here I am, and I'm enjoying what I do. I love what I do. But I originally went to school basically just to play baseball. That was my number one goal in life, was to be a professional baseball player. And that, for a multitude of reasons, did not work out. And so then plan B was, from there, I was going to, from college in San Diego, I was going to move down here to Arizona and get a degree in sports psychology. Because I knew I liked sports, obviously, but I also really enjoyed psychology and why people do what they do and behave the way that they do and things of that nature. So that was plan B. While I was in grad school, I was able to get a second master's degree in mental health counseling. So I was kind of trying to work on both of those sort of simultaneously. And then through that, I've just spent a lot more time with the mental health side of things and really enjoyed that. And so I moved out here in 2006, I've been out here ever since then. So, yeah.
So how did you meet Sam? If this wasn't your first idea or your second.
Kind of an interesting story, I think. Because I'm trying to remember how long ago that was. I want to say it was probably 2013-ish, something around there, maybe.
Okay, mm-hmm. So Sam had been here a while.
Correct,
then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Sam had already been here, I would say probably relatively established.
Hmm.
And so I needed to get some more hours for my license.
Mm.
And because where I was working, I enjoyed my job, but I wasn't getting very many hours. So my wife worked with somebody who, his wife knew Sam, and she was in the same kind of position. And so my wife and her husband were talking, and he said, oh, let me contact my wife. She really likes her supervisor. We'll see if we can get them in touch. Long story short, I got in touch with her. And she said, hey, Sam is having this open house for this new kind of company that he's opening up. Why don't you just show up and I'll introduce you? So I said, yeah, why not? I didn't know anything about Sam at that point in time. And I really didn't even know this woman that told me to come. And I was just kind of going into it blind. Showed up to the location, she said, didn't know a single person. Just had a picture basically to go off of, and you know, that looks like her. And so I ended up meeting her, and then she directed me to Sam. And I still remember sitting in that office and having a conversation with Sam, and we bonded over Hawaii that day.
Yeah, we love it. Yeah, Hawaii is my favorite place on the planet, particularly Maui. And Rich happens to be from Hawaii, so I was immediately jealous of him. I'm not sure if I should be or not, but I've come, well, actually, at the time I wasn't sure, but I've come to understand that I should have been and should be, just because I think it's him. My story, the story I tell myself about Rich, is that him living and growing up in Hawaii has largely shaped who he is as a person, which is an absolutely wonderful soul. You know, a person who cares about other people, is super calm, super gentle, super peaceful. You know, the type of person that you want to be around, and certainly that you want to be in business with.
Mm.
You know? Now, I can't say I figured all that out in one meeting with him. But, you know, what's funny is in my mind, I imagined our first meeting in a completely different place. Mm. We met at Sky House, at an open house. Sky House was a substance abuse treatment program that was a little blip on the radar screen in my life because it didn't last very long. However, some of the people that I met at Sky House continue to be in my life today, not only Rich, but also Gina Luck, who is our financial director. I met her there as well. And so you would say, okay, of the 9 months I spent at Sky House, was it worth it? And the answer is yes. You know, the particular therapist that connected us was a young lady named Callie, who I think lives in Texas now. And that was just a fantastic connection. You know, and like Rich said, things happening for reasons. It would have been, you know, who could have known, right, at that point where we'd be today. But quality people, you know, I try to keep them in my life.
Wow. Okay. So how did you guys get LifeTree together? If you're already established and he's coming to open house and this is not your plan of counseling.
Right.
And that was 7 years ago, eight years ago.
Yeah, now. Wow.
Yeah, so obviously some time had passed since back then in, what did we say, 2013 to now. You know, and I think my relationship with Sam kind of changed a little bit over the years. You know, it kind of started, he was my supervisor. So I was just learning a ton of stuff about him. And then from there, that sort of evolved into some other things where, you know, Sam, I say Sam took a chance on me, you know, and entrusted me with some added responsibilities. And so I worked with him in a few different capacities, with a few different kind of locations and offices. But most recently, he approached me, was it August of last year?
Yeah.
July, maybe August of last year.
Happened really fast.
Yeah. About this idea to start our own clinic together. And I was very excited and jumped at the opportunity.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said there. And just to, you know, flesh it out a little bit more, there was a stretch, like 2013, 14, 15, 16, something like that, where I was taking a lot of different jobs, kind of like feeling my way through some different parts of the mental health world.
Mm.
And fortunately, I was in a position where I could bring on some people that I really trusted and wanted to be around. You know, Rich is, he's always at the top of that list. Responsible, accountable, dependable, you know, anything you can possibly want in a good employee. But more importantly, he's a high character guy.
Mm.
And that's really what I look for the most, not to mention he's a great clinician. So, you know, I made it a point, because people like Rich Killen are not a dime a dozen. They're once in a lifetime, you know, maybe twice. I make sure that I stay close to those folks. And, you know, we tried to do something like this a while ago, but the timing just wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it was. It was just a timing issue.
Mm-hmm.
That was right before COVID. And so I'm pretty sure COVID might have interfered with our ability to succeed. It's not going to interfere with our ability to succeed now. And so it was a real no-brainer to approach him again, because it's really just doing something. It's finishing something I felt like we started a while ago. Making sure that, you know, both of us sort of follow the path that of importance for us, which ultimately is relationships, healing broken relationships, bringing freedom to people. And, you know, the good point of it, I know I'm singing Rich's praises, but here's the deal with this. Like, I don't ever dread coming to work with Rich here. There's not a single day where that's an issue. You know, and I've worked in places like that before.
Mm-hmm.
It's just aloha spirit here. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It's just aloha spirit.
So, Sam, who or what inspires you in your work besides Rich being here?
I know, right? Well, there'd be, that's right. If I didn't know Rich, it'd be nothing.
Wow.
No, this just goes back again to like family of origin stuff and just keeping it really brief. I mean, you know, my dad was a small business owner, and he was also a small church pastor.
Mm.
And so the ministry that he and my mom were involved in was always focused on individuals who nobody else wanted anything to do with anymore. So the people in my life, from as early as I understood what was happening, were a collection of individuals who were struggling with alcohol addiction or substance use, or people who were living on the streets, people who just got released from mental health institutions. These people were routinely at my house.
Mm.
And I just thought that was normal. Clearly not normal, but it was normal for me. And over time, when I got older, I started to pay attention to their lives and how their lives became what they became.
Mm.
And what I ultimately sort of figured out is that the reason these men and women ended up where they did in life is because no one ever cared enough to tell them that there was a different way, that as much as they had made life manageable for themselves, it was still very self-destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having these conversations with the employees from my dad's company when I was a supervisor, and suggesting to them of like, you know, this was years before anybody ever mentioned therapy to me, but just real problem solving and saying, hey, you know, like, have you considered not hanging out with those people anymore? and the look on their face, of, you know, it was just like, well, can I do that? Like can I say no to that?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, you can. You don't have to sign up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I'll tell you what, it was amazing to start to see people change with just the slightest bit of information. And then the thought occurred to me, wow, like if I really knew what I was doing, if I actually knew anything,
mm-hmm.
how much suffering could I prevent?
Mm.
Or how much lives could I change? And don't get me wrong, Whitney, I'll be the first one to tell you, like, there were times during that stretch of my life that I really blew it too. And I have those memories of where I wasn't really kind and I wasn't really compassionate. And because of that, some people really got hurt. So I remember that too. Like, I see the benefits of action, but I also see the real pain of inaction.
Mm.
Like, eventually somebody's got to do something.
Yeah.
That's what I took away from that.
Okay. Yeah. So out of all of that, and now that you know a lot of information, I feel like all of us kind of line up to hear you talk. Tell me if I'm wrong, Rich. But
absolutely.
What would you say is like the career highlight you're most proud of, or like the career decision that has made you the happiest?
Developing companies with good people has certainly been a highlight. And it's at times it's made me very happy. And other times it's very difficult. from a professional standpoint, I've gotten to speak at some conferences that I would have thought I would have never been invited to speak at. Those mean a lot to me. But the things that mean the most is when I have a conversation with an ex-client, ex-patient, or a current supervisee, and they share the success stories of how what we talk about has a positive impact on our patients' lives. Nothing feels better than that.
Yeah. So do you feel like your job brings you like happiness and makes you feel fulfilled?
I mean, that's probably the fantasy version of it, right?
Yeah. Yes.
The truth is that a lot of that is true. There's a ton of fulfillment in it. I don't necessarily know that there's a ton of happiness in it all the time, because when you, like, if you're going to be any good at this, and I think this is something that makes LifeTree different, I hope. If you're going to be good at helping someone heal, then you got to be willing to get into the ditch with them and walk through the valleys with them. Not talking about how to come out of the valley while I'm standing up on a mountaintop. You know, with the megaphone shouting down, hey, you don't need to walk down there.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of a sense of I'm going to show up and walk with that person.
Mm.
But when you show up at that painful place in a person's life, you better expect to feel some pain if you care.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the difference. Like, we're not here about telling people how to climb out of a valley. We're here to walk out of the valley with the person. Very different.
Okay. So even though you're not always the happiest, you might just feel fulfilled at the end of the day knowing that you just helped that person.
Yeah. I mean, certainly happiness is attainable, joy is attainable, and yet when you do what we do, nobody's coming here because they're happy all the time.
Right.
That's part of the deal. I mean, I think it's such an honor to serve people in the places of their pain, to be invited into that. That's why I like that word fulfillment. You know, that's meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
That's something worth saying, you know, when it's all said and done. If you say, did I change somebody's life today? The answer is yes. Did we save a life today? Probably. Is that fulfilling?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow, Rich, do you think you can follow up?
No, I'm definitely not quite as eloquent as Sam is.
So who or what inspires you in your work?
I would say also it has to do with kind of family origin stuff. My dad was also a pastor, you know, so Sam and I also share that kind of similarity there. But I think for me, it was just seeing, you know, when, growing up, felt a little bit like I was in a little bit of a bubble in some ways. And then seeing all of the hurt and the brokenness around me, sometimes it was with friends, sometimes it was just, you know, the news and the little bit of the news that you pick up on when you're a little kid. But that, I think, really got to me, and that really stood out to me. And over the years, that desire to make a change in a person's life kind of grew, so that, you know, I wanted to be able to help somebody, you know, that was hurting, somebody that was feeling that pain, so that they, you know, they could feel hope and and just experience joy and things like that, that just, you know, from the kind of the destruction that I saw around me. And then, you know, that was kind of all kind of brewing sort of under the surface. I don't know that I fully realized it at that moment. But then, as I talked about earlier, you know, the everything happening for a reason, and you know, certain aspirations of mine that didn't quite work out, I think that all sort of came together and clicked. And kind of got me to where I am.
Okay, so what would you say is your best career decision you've ever made? Does that start at LifeTree? Does that start at the open house? Where does that start?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It may sound cheesy, and I'm not just saying this because Sam's sitting here across from me, but probably at that open house when I decided to show up.
Take a leap of faith.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I was very anxious about that because I had no idea who Sam was. I didn't know anything about him. If I knew what I knew now, then I would have been like, oh, yeah. Sam's very laid back and easygoing, easy to talk to, so I would have it wouldn't have been an issue. But back then, I didn't know, and I, you know, what is this guy going to think? Is he going to think I'm desperate? You know, all of those kinds of anxious thoughts that were going through my head. And I really just had to take a step back and recognize, like, I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, worst that's going to happen is he's going to say no, and I'm back where I started. Best case scenario is, well, right now, in some ways. So I would say it goes back to that, and then obviously, you know, the beginning of LifeTree is high up on that list.
Okay. So what do you think is something outsiders wouldn't know about now being a mental health professional? Because it sounds like you've had quite the journey, and now you've made this commitment with Sam.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is something outsiders wouldn't know?
Just about being a mental health therapist?
Yeah, if it wasn't your plan A, and definitely not plan B.
I think, well, the first thing that comes to mind is just, you know, we're also human, and we also have emotions and stuff that we are also going through. And it's not that we necessarily have everything figured out.
No.
You know, I know, shocker. But yeah, like, we have to do our own work sometimes. And that's, you know, one of the things that Sam and I, even with all of our therapists here, is we try to encourage self-care and things of that nature, because you can get burned out very easily in this job. And, you know, if not only because we want the other therapists here to be happy, because, you know, we want to enjoy being able to come to work every day and have conversations with the other therapists and things of that nature. But also, if the therapist is, you know, practicing self-care and they're in a relatively good place, then they're going to be able to be more present for their clients. And like Sam said, be in the valley with them. And so I guess that's probably the main thing is we are going through life too.
Mm.
And so it's not that we have it all figured out or anything like that.
Okay. So in your life and with this job, what makes you feel fulfilled? Or do you feel fulfilled here now?
Yeah, I absolutely feel fulfilled. I think it, along with what Sam was saying, just being able to see the growth in clients when they're able to do things that they weren't able to do previously. It's nice sometimes when you get that positive feedback from clients, but that doesn't always happen, and that's fine. But just being able to see growth, that to me is the biggest thing. And that can look like a lot of different things depending on the client and the situation. But for me, just seeing growth is very fulfilling. Seeing them be able to reach their goals, whatever that might be.
Okay. So you both have this needed desire to help an individual in what sounds like the lowest part of their lives. Why on earth would you want a podcast where you talk to no one but each other or myself?
Well, I think that's a great point. I mean, you know, this being the inaugural podcast, or at least a test run for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to figure out how to be authentic and organic with all of this, because the desire is to find people who need help and help them, even if it has nothing to do with LifeTree. You know, that's the goal, is to be a hand extended to the individuals that need a hand. I heard this, I think, on NPR a couple years ago. Somebody had been through a really pretty horrific life, and that interviewer asked the person, like, what's your takeaway of all that you've suffered? And the person said, well, you know, it's hard to be judgmental about anything or anyone anymore when you've experienced the level of pain that I've experienced, and therefore my ability to be compassionate towards others is off the charts. And I thought, I've been thinking about that for years. Like, I heard that years ago.
Wow.
Years ago. What makes clinicians great clinicians? What makes therapists great therapists? What makes people good people? As we come to a correct understanding of our own pain, it helps us to be compassionate. It becomes very difficult to be or remain judgmental.
Mm.
And we want people to know that, right? Like, it doesn't matter if we get lucky and one person listens to this podcast. If we stir that person, if we stir you, the listener, to start to consider that life could be different and that maybe someone actually cares about me, then any time we spent doing a podcast is worth gold. You know? I mean, that's what it's all about. And that's the only reason we're doing this, is we want to be able to reach more people.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether that's them coming here to LifeTree or not, you know, I remember something that Sam told me several years ago when I was still really new at all of this. He had mentioned, you know, sometimes the goal is to, you may not see the results in your time with that client, but sometimes setting up that next therapist that person sees, sometimes that is success. And I have that same kind of mindset with this kind of a thing. And it's not even about growing LifeTree as a business. If we, you know, inspire somebody to seek out a therapist, wherever they may be, could be on the other opposite side of the world, really, then that's what this is about. It's about, you know, trying to kind of promote mental health and provide resources and just help people.
Yeah, there's a parable in the New Testament about the Good Samaritan. Generally, how people understand this parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's the idea of like there's a stranger who's walking to a particular city, and he is attacked and kind of left for dead. And you've got various religious people see this man dying and do absolutely nothing. Matter of fact, they cross the street to walk as far away from him as they possibly can. And then there's this other person, the Samaritan, who by definition, a Samaritan is like nothing. You know, they're broken, you know, in a sense, less than, you know. But it's that broken, less than person that attends to the traveler who's on the verge of death, and it's that broken, less than person that mends the traveler enough to get him to the innkeeper of the nearest, you know, hotel, if you will, and says to the innkeeper, "Hey, make sure you take care of this guy until he's better, and I'll pay for it." And then the Good Samaritan leaves, you know. And I suppose, you know, what we're supposed to understand about that parable is it's nice to do good things for people. And that's like, yeah, that's the surfacey understanding. What I think what we're really called to do is understand what is our role in doing good for the person. It was the Samaritan's role to be an acute influence in making sure that the person didn't die. It was the innkeeper's role to keep the person alive long enough to heal. And that's kind of what we're talking about here, is that for whoever listens to this, whoever we reach, we want to be a mechanism for you to find the right place to be. It might have absolutely nothing to do with us, and that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But if we can connect you to the right innkeeper, then we've been a good Samaritan. That's the heart here. That's what we're looking for.
Welcome to Hope.
Welcome to Hope.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Follow us on social media for more information about next week's episode. The content in this program is not intended to be a substitute for professional counseling, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your mental health professional or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have. Never disregard professional advice or delay in seeking counseling because of something you have heard on this podcast. If you or someone you know is in need of counseling in the state of Arizona, feel free to call us at 602-488-6104. If you are in crisis or think you may have an emergency, call 911 immediately. If you are in Maricopa County, Arizona, and are in a behavioral health crisis, you can call the crisis hotline at 1-800-631-1314. If you are outside of Maricopa County, please call your local crisis hotline or call 1-800-273-8255. If you are located outside the United States, call your local emergency line immediately.